Good morning, Soma. Great to be with all of you this morning. The elders, we spent the last few days in Oak Harbor on our elders retreat, and we had a great time. We prayed for all of you. We spent time seeking the Lord together, fasting parts of the day, and just trying to plan what next year could look like. Where is God taking us? And we also had some fun. You'll see that the other day we went axe throwing. And if you look at the picture, you see that, you know, as I was watching us all play, I was trying to wonder who is the true alpha dog of the elder board. And clearly the winner of the axe throwing competition was Pete. That's why he's holding it up like this. You know, so Pete appears to be the alpha dog. But if you look very closely at the picture, you see an axe right on top of his head. And Tom is holding the axe. So when it comes to appearances, Pete may appear to be the alpha dog. But everybody knows who the real alpha was. We knew that. So it was Tom. But we had a great time. Thanks for giving us a couple of days away. It was such a blessing. We are in James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. James is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament, as Mr. Rittenhouse once said. Would you please stand with me and we are releasing the kids and the youth. You may be released. Your children, you are a blessing from the Lord. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of God this morning. All right, James chapter 3, 13 to 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. This is God's word given to humanity to know how to follow Jesus in a dark world. Please be seated. Follow Jesus by chasing after wisdom from God. That is James' main point in this passage. Chasing after earthly wisdom or wisdom from below versus chasing after wisdom from above. Spiritual wisdom. That's the hot topic of this section in his letter. Christians are always in a constant battle of earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And right before this section in James, the first 12 verses of this chapter were about how lethal the tongue is. The popular line that many of us probably know is, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never break me." Is that a true statement? James is making the case that that is a complete myth. You can have your bones broken, but they will eventually heal. But you can't always heal from words. There are hurtful words that were said to me in my past that still haunt me today. And some of us still suffer from words that broke us from many years ago. But James taught us that we all have the propensity to have unbridled tongues. Though the tongue is small, he says it could set a whole forest on fire. The tongue blesses and curses people. The tongue gives God praise and the tongue tears people down. James says this applies to all of us. But he also says in verse 2 that we all stumble. All are complicit in this. So what do we do then? If our tongues are harmful, should we just become mute individuals? I know I can't do that. I'm known to be a chatterbox, so it just doesn't work for me. How do we begin to have some level of control over our tongues? According to James in today's passage, it is by acquiring spiritual wisdom, or wisdom from above. He's challenging us to examine ourselves and evaluate if we are in fact wise people. We're going to answer four questions today. What is wisdom? What does spiritual wisdom and earthly wisdom produce? How can you receive spiritual wisdom? And how do you live a wise life? First, what is wisdom? How do you define wisdom? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is true wisdom. The Apostle Paul says that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so to have wisdom, you must first meet wisdom. Have you met Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God? If someone asked you, "Are you a wise person?" how would you respond? If you asked me that question before I was a Christian, I would tell you that a wise person is someone who has gray hair and has a lot of money in the bank. But I do have a little bit of gray hair now. But I'm still broke mostly because of diapers and fedoras and sneakers. Is a wise person a financially rich person? Is a wise person someone who is over 50 or 60 years old? Is a wise person someone with a PhD, a public high school diploma? Do wise people only come from Philadelphia? Probably. Is a wise person someone who knows a lot of things about and has a ton of knowledge? Someone who is eloquent in speech? What makes someone wise? According to James in verse 13, wise people are Christians who possess a level of understanding of God's ways, and they live an honorable life before God. They do good works with humility that come from wisdom. They're not doing good works to earn God's acceptance or His favor. I need to achieve God's acceptance by living a good life. That's not Christianity. But they do good works because it is the least they could do to obey the God who sacrificed His life to save us from living a life of meaninglessness. They chase after spiritual wisdom to grow in maturity in their Christian faith. A wise person has understanding about situations in life because they themselves have a lot of experience in it. The word understanding here is translated from the Greek word epistemon, which means to be skilled at something or to have a level of expertise in it. I've been a pastor for 2 years now, and most of the time I have no idea what I'm doing because I just don't have... Thank you for your trust in me. I just don't have a lot of expertise in it. Just, thank you. Just ask our elders, though. If I'm an expert at anything, I'm an expert at whining. But thankfully, I'm surrounded by elders who do possess a level of understanding and are wise in ministry. They're in their roles because God gave them the reps to be able to lead this church and to guide me in my role. Or another example is, I play in a basketball league every Tuesday night in North Bend, and I play with a guy named Scott. Scott is definitely the best player in our league. I mean, there's no doubt, but he's probably one of the oldest players in our league. I could probably outrun him, maybe jump higher than him, but he is flawless on the court. He always makes the right decision in every situation during the game. He has wisdom and understanding on the basketball court. And one day I will catch up to him. I'm committed to that. Wisdom is not defined by what you know. Maybe you know a lot. But wisdom is defined by what you do with the knowledge that you have. Someone once said, with great knowledge comes great responsibility. How do you become wise and understand God's ways? You chase after wisdom by becoming knowledgeable in God's word. And you apply God's word in your everyday life to become wise like Jesus and understand God's ways. If you are a Christian, the Bible becomes your guide for living your life. Not your intellect, not following a preacher, not Joe Rogan, not Ben Shapiro, not Jocko, not your favorite human celebrity, but the supernatural Word of God. Eugene Peterson translates Hebrews 4:12 in how it describes the Bible this way. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Family, James is calling us to chase after wisdom by growing in our knowledge of God's word so we can learn to be wise and understand God's ways. The second question is, what does spiritual wisdom and earthly wisdom produce? Again, in verse 13, this spiritual wisdom that only God can give us produces an honorable life and does good works with humility. And then when wisdom is injected into our lives, we will notice, and others will notice, that we love to make peace. We are gentle all the time. We are open to reason. We love to do good, he says. And we don't play favorites toward anyone. We don't favor one person above another person. James says wise Christians are also peacemakers in verse 18. They spread peace wherever they go. And they produce a harvest of people who love to obey God and love to be with God's people. This is what a wise person is. Is that you? What is James trying to tell us about spiritual wisdom in this passage? What's the silver lining? He's telling us that wisdom is gained through relationships. It's a relational game, don't you see? Do you want to be spiritually wise? Then it begins and ends with how you treat your relationships. And it starts with your relationship with God. People will know we possess spiritual wisdom based on how we treat our relationships. Verse 17 says, wisdom from above is evidenced by if we are peace-loving, gentle, and open to reason in our relationships. And wisdom from God is evidenced by if we are merciful, if we do good works, if we don't play favorites, and we are sincere in our relationships. Sincere here means that we are not hypocritical. So let me summarize what James is saying about spiritual wisdom. If we are not good at honoring our relationships, then we lack spiritual wisdom. If you desire to grow in spiritual wisdom, then consider your relationships. How do you treat your relationships? Do you see them as transactional? I will be your friend. I will engage you only if you engage me. I need to get something out of the relationship in order for me to pursue it. Or do you do what James says and self-donate yourself to the relationship, expecting nothing in return? And what about earthly wisdom or wisdom from below? James describes those who live under wisdom from below in verses 14 to 16. Wisdom from below means that our primary wisdom is received from whatever this world teaches us, or that we have not begun to grow in spiritual wisdom because we never crack open God's word. We say we love God, but we rarely open his word to get to know God or to know his ways. It's like you're saying you love your wife or your spouse, you never spend time with your spouse. And if you never spend time with your spouse, do you really love her? For those who have not given up their lives to God, James says the earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom has kept them from turning their lives over to God. There's only one of two spirits in every human being in the world: the Spirit of Jesus Christ, also known as the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of Satan, also known as the devil, the evil one. The Apostle Paul wrote, "You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." This is who we were before Jesus Christ saved us. We were living under the spell of the devil by living in darkness, and were blind to the reality that God loves us and died for our sins. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember what it was like to not know God? We wanted anything in this world that we can control except for God. Because chasing after wisdom from God means you give up your control over your destiny. Before God saved me, man, I did whatever was pleasing to my eyes. I thought I was the master of my life, and God had no relevance in my life. This is what chasing after earthly wisdom produces. That's the kind of heart that is cultivated under earthly wisdom. And when I became a Christian in 2006, I still never cracked open my Bible, and I lack spiritual wisdom. Earthly wisdom, or wisdom from below, is still what controlled me. I didn't realize that watching porn was evil. I didn't realize that sex was a sacred experience that God reserved as a gift within the institution of marriage. I created my own rules for life, believing that I can love God still and follow earthly wisdom. James says that earthly wisdom motivates humans to live their lives from a place of selfish ambition and jealousy. He says this kind of earthly wisdom is what causes disorder and the multiplication of evil. It makes sense, doesn't it? Those who live under wisdom from below chase after it by living for themselves. That is what selfish ambition is. I will do what I want, when I want. I will do whatever is pleasing to my eyes. In 2023, it's more like, I will do whatever is pleasing to my feelings. Imagine a world without God, where science is God, and man is merely a bag of bones created from an unguided process of evolution. From this atheistic framework, it makes sense how the only option in life is to do whatever is pleasing to our eyes and to our feelings, unchecked, unguided, and ultimately a life of meaninglessness. In his book, The Brothers Karamazov, the Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote, "If God does not exist, then everything is permitted. But when you give your life to Christ, who is the God who created you in a guided process with infinite meaning, He is the true Spirit who brings light to your darkness. He gives sight to your blindness. And He sets you free from captivity of the evil one." Who are you living for today? The third question is, how can you begin to receive spiritual wisdom? In order to receive spiritual wisdom, you must first receive wisdom Himself. Jesus Christ is the source of wisdom, and He gives it to whomever asks for it. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I want you to have complete confidence that you understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In Christ lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." If somebody asked you, "Why should God let you into heaven?" how would you respond? There are generally two responses. The first response is earthly wisdom saying, "God will accept me because I have achieved a good life and I am a good person." In Islam, the Quran says in Surah 160 that if your good works outweigh your bad works, then maybe God will accept you into heaven. In Buddhism and Hinduism, there is no heaven. You are living in the circle of life, like Elton John composed in The Lion King. The Lion King was made from a Hindu philosophy. If you can achieve good works now, then you will reincarnate into a better life later. For atheists, their performance, in my opinion, is devoid of purpose. What are they living for? If you don't believe in God, what are you living for? If you are an atheist, what could possibly be the rational purpose of your life if your life was merely a random occurrence in the universe? You are random, unguided, without a transcendent person, or without a transcendent purpose to live for something or someone beyond yourself. But the second response is spiritual wisdom saying, "God accepts me because of the good works that Jesus Christ achieved. He is the sinless Son of God, an innocent man dying a criminal's death for you." Christians go to heaven not because they have achieved God's acceptance based on their impressive works. Christians go to heaven because they have received God's acceptance based on Jesus' works. There is no religion in the world or belief system that even comes close to what Jesus Christ has done for you. There is no one like Jesus, and He is the Savior of the world. We cannot achieve God's favor, but we can only receive God's favor, as Tim Keller once said. Because God switched seats with you by absorbing our judgment when He was judged on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ satisfied God's wrath on the cross in our place by being punished for our sins. If you are a Christian, your life is not a performance anymore. You can stop performing. You only live for the audience of one. Is that good news? He loves you as you are. Because God accepts you into His family through Jesus' perfect performance when He was on earth. And what makes this so extraordinary and so distinctive from any other religion is that if you believe that, how can you ever live a prideful life again? What do you have to boast about if you have only received and not achieved your faith inheritance? That is why we follow Jesus with wisdom, by living in humility, because He was humiliated on a cross for us. Have you received this Jesus, the wisdom of God, as your God and Savior? Will you believe? Do you see how this is good news for the world? If you want spiritual wisdom, then chase after Jesus, the wisdom of God, by first receiving Him. All right, the last question. How do we live a wise life? Easy peasy. We ask God for wisdom. God, please fill me with wisdom. I probably pray that prayer 5 to 10 times a day. James says in the beginning of his letter, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. Spiritual wisdom, or wisdom from above, is the cure against living an anxious life. Don't ask God to tell you if you should go to UW, Wazoo, or take a gap year, but ask God to give you wisdom to decide what is honorable. We read today that if you are wise and understanding, then prove it, he says. Prove it by living an honorable life. Ask God to give you wisdom to ensure that whatever you decide, you are not motivated by selfish ambition or jealousy. Don't ask God to tell you if you should be a Philadelphia Eagles fan or a Seahawks fan. Wisdom says every time that you should be an Eagles fan. The answer is obvious. If you are a Christian, God lives inside of you. He gave you His Word to guide you into all truth. And He gave you His people to speak the truth to you in love. Instead, James says to ask God for wisdom that is motivated by a peace-loving heart, a gentle heart, and a reasonable heart to help you choose what honors God and honors God's people. If you are a Christian, the Bible says that God has planned and guided your very life before He created the world. He already wrote the story of your life before He created the world. Is it your life's mission to find out what His plan is for your life? Or is it your mission to live out what His revealed will is in His Word? Find out or live out? In his book, Just Do Something, A Liberating Approach to Finding God's Will, which is a book that we're reading in our disciple-making track, pastor and theologian Kevin DeYoung states that God is not like some crystal ball to help us predict our future. God's way is not a crystal ball. His way is wisdom. We aren't asking for holiness or righteousness or an awareness of sin. We want God to tell us what to do so everything will turn out pleasant for us. God, tell me who to marry, where to live, what school to go to, what job to take. Show me the future so I won't have to take any future risks. Obsessing over the future is not how God wants us to live, because showing us the future is not God's way. His way is to speak to us in the Scriptures and transform us by the renewing of our minds. His way is not a crystal ball. His way is wisdom. We should stop looking for God to reveal the future to us and remove all risk from our lives. We should start looking to God, His character, and His promises, and thereby have confidence to take risks for His name's sake. Does God care about what job you take, where you live, and what school you want to go to? For my Bible, I think the answer is no. That's blasphemy, should you? Okay. God does care about what job you take, the place you live, and what school you want to go to. All the details of your life do matter to God. But He's not necessarily concerned about what job you take, the place you live, and what school you want to go to. Do you know what God actually cares about? He cares about you following His revealed will in the Bible. He cares about you loving Him with your whole heart to not sin and to live an honorable life. He cares about you loving your neighbor as much as you love yourself. He cares about you knowing Him through spending time with Him. He cares about you knowing His revealed ways by immersing yourself in the Bible. He cares about saving humans from their blindness and their darkness and their selfish ambition to start loving Him. He cares about you being a confident Christian because He has given you everything you need to live out His revealed will in the Bible. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." A wise Christian chases after wisdom and learns to live in confidence. If we're not supposed to find out what God's will is outside of the Bible, then what does God say is His revealed will in the Bible? First, God's will is that we live holy, set apart lives. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In other words, God's will for you is to not sin. Second, God's will for us is to always rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Third, God's will for us is to know His will so we can bear fruit and know Him better. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And lastly, the revealed will of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. A wise Christian understands he is already living in God's will and does not need to search for it. But Christians lack wisdom when they are trying to find out God's will outside of His revealed word. family, I invite you and me and all of us to confidently live out God's will by chasing after wisdom from God. Follow Jesus by chasing after wisdom from God. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for giving us your word. And your word is the Logos of God. The word is often referred to as Jesus, the wisdom of God. And because of Jesus, you have given us your holy scriptures to know how to love him, to know how to live for you, and to know how to live a wise life for the glory of God. Lord, please give us wisdom. Help us to be a people on the east side that confidently lives wise lives, seeking you, knowing you, spending time with you in your word. Family, if you are here today and you have not met the wisdom of God, I invite you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wisdom incarnate. He is spiritual wisdom that guards our lives, guides our lives, and protects us from evil. Would you go to God now and talk to him and how you can live wisely for him in this season? Maybe confess your unbelief of his word not being sufficient for growing in wisdom and to live an honorable life. That his word reveals to us his ways. James says that if you are wise and understanding, then prove it by living an honorable life. Would you go to him now? Father, would you hear our prayer, Lord? We love you. Thank you for giving us spiritual wisdom. Thank you for setting us free from the wisdom of this world that motivates us to be selfishly ambitious and jealous. But the spiritual wisdom of God has liberated us from slavery to earthly wisdom. And we can now live for you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. Now we will enter into a time of response. There's boxes here to give out of obedience to God. If you are a Christian, your bank account now belongs to Christ. And he invites his people to fund his work out of obedience. And I want to remind us of what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 about what communion is. And he simply said what Jesus Christ himself told Paul. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from Jesus himself, that on the night Judas betrayed him, he took some bread and he broke it into pieces and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he gave it to his disciples and he says, 'This is my body, which was broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me.' And then he took the cup of wine and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me.' And then he says, 'For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup,'" every time we do it, "we as God's people with one heart and mind and one spirit, we announce his death until he returns. Please come and partake as a family. Love you all."